And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Well, here we are in downtown Toronto, and Mickey, your visit to this city, beginning with a bit of a curveball being tossed in our direction. We went to your favorite watering hole here in Toronto, and what the heck, it's closed.
It is closed, and it's got yellow caution tape over it, and so we don't know what's going on. I would be very sad if this bar, which is known as a meeting place among certain geologists and financiers in my business, were to go away. Mm-hmm. Got some friends that I meet there all the time, but there's no lack of watering holes in downtown Toronto.
Yeah, we managed to find without any trouble at all. At least it wasn't yellow police tape. I think that tape is around there, Mickey. They're probably maybe gutting the inside, and when it does reopen, it'll have a fresh look.
We'll
check it out for sure.
Yeah, and I hope it still is under the same management and the same setup, because it really is a fun bar.
Okay, well, we have decided to put barium on the menu for this edition of the program. And when you promoted this a number of weeks ago, you told listeners that it has an important role in the oil and gas industry. We'll touch on that a little bit later. Also, there's a geopolitical angle to the story that we have to discuss. But fill us in on what barium is all about. What have you learned in your research?
Well, I laughed there because you talked about barium on the menu. And and some people will probably know that barium, because it's opaque to x-rays, is used as a medical diagnostic tool for the digestive system. And it's known as a barium meal. And I guess if you're really in dire straits, Rob, you get a barium enema, which doesn't sound like much fun.
No, and we'll move on because you got shepherd's pie sitting here waiting to eat for you to eat a little later. But fill us in on what your research has found, Mickey, because there's an interesting story with this.
Well, there really is. It's number 58 on the periodic table as we work our way down the alkaline earths. It's the next to the bottom, so it's quite heavy. It's a soft silvery metal, as they all are. It's highly reactive. It burns in air and water, so it was discovered in 1774. It was isolated in 1808 by electrolysis and by Sir Humphrey Davy, who is very well known for discovering most of the alkali and alkali earth metals through the process of electrolysis.
That name keeps popping up in your research, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It's got seven primordial isotopes, which means they've been around since the invention of the universe, I guess we can call it that. Somebody invented it. We're not quite sure who. But they have very long half-lives. About 50 known isotopes with highly varying atomic weights.
And I guess the real interesting talking point, though, as far as uses en masse today, relates to the oil and gas industry. How is it used?
Well, it's used as barite, which is barium sulfate. It's a very common mineral. It occurs in vein deposits, hydrothermal vein deposits. It also occurs with massive sulfides. But mainly, the deposits that are mined, at least in North America, it occurs as sedimentary barite deposit, especially in Nevada. It is very dependent on the health of the oil and gas business. It's used in as a media in heavy media and drilling fluids.
Okay. The oil and gas industry right now, the gas or the oil side, certainly in pretty decent shape. So there's remains a very robust demand for this.
It does, and the demand for barite can vary drastically from year to year. From my research, I discovered that the highest world consumption was back in 1981, and that would be not long after the Iran hostage affair and kind of the second episode of very high gas prices in the United States.
Oil embargoes,
which generated a lot of drilling. So the demand right now is quite robust because of demand for oil drilling. And the deeper you go, the more barite is needed. So it's very heavy, and it stabilizes drilling fluids as you drill very deep. So, and and helps relieve high pressure, overpressurized situations, and blowout preventions. It's a necessary component. So it's especially pertinent right now to, say, deep water drilling in the deep Gulf of Mexico.
Right. Concerning the geopolitical angle to this, in teasing up this interview a few weeks ago, you mentioned that China is also part of this story, as it so often is. Fill us in on the background, and how did China become a... I guess you're saying that China is now a dominant player in this.
Well, it produces more than 50% of world consumption, and this all started back in the late 70s and early 80s. And I was actually working in Nevada quite a lot in the late 70s during that period of time, and there were lots of barite mines in Nevada, a couple of really big barite companies, NL Baroid and some other ones, and they supplied the majority of the U.S. drilling industry, and at that time, most of the wells drilled in the world were being drilled in the United States. And the Chinese came in and started flooding the market and with cheap barite, and they essentially destroyed the Nevada barite industry. Lots of mines went bankrupt and shut down, and the reason was, and it has to do with transportation, because it is more economic to put barite on a boat in China and ship it to the Gulf Coast of the United States, to Louisiana and Texas, right, than it is to put it on a train in Nevada and ship it to the Gulf Coast. So it's this whole thing about how cheap it is to move commodities, especially bulk dry commodities, across oceans in tankers is a lot easier than it is to put it on a train.
That's an incredible story, Mickey. It also brings up a wider discussion in terms of you can't blame China for exploiting the market and doing what it's doing, really. I mean, it's a competitive world out there, and you do what it takes to be on top. But at the same time, we got to look in our own backyard and ask ourselves, why is it cheaper to come from the other side of the world than just down the road a couple of hundred miles? On the surface, it doesn't make sense.
More than a couple of hundred miles,
but
Rob.
It's
2,000 miles. Well, sure it does. It's much cheaper to everywhere in the world to ship by boat versus train or truck. It's the easiest way, the cheapest way to ship any commodity worldwide is to be near tidewater, put it on a boat, and take it to its destination.
And you can move so much more at one time.
Right, and very cheaply across the water. So the other thing we need to take account here is India also produces a bunch of cheap barite. So, and most of that barite is shipped from China and India that goes to the U.S., and it's probably something on the order of well over a third of the world's barite. It's crude barite, so it's mined, it's put on a boat, and it is shipped to grinding plants in the Gulf Coast. There's about 14 grinding plants, so the majority of the world's barite would be ground in the United States, and we are significant exporters of barite. Something on the order of 20% of our barite goes to Canada, goes to a grinding plant in Lethbridge, Alberta, so to supply the Western Canadian oil and gas drilling industry. And also, as time has gone on with a lot of drilling in the Western U.S., there are still 4 barite mines in Nevada that produce, and they supply the Western U.S. and Western Canada.
How about prices, supply, demand? Where do things sit right there on that front?
Well, prices are relatively stable. The prices I saw were 2010 prices, and Western barite was about $56 a ton. That's ground, though. FOB China, India to the Gulf Coast would be somewhere around $110 a ton. The grinding plants are making it to API, American Petroleum Institute specifications, which are quite strict, have to do with grinding size. It needs to be very fine grain. It needs to be a specific gravity of 4.1 to 4.2. It needs to not have much contamination. Contaminants can be other minerals and sulfides. So there are very strict specifications for drilling fluid use. That's selling for about $150 a ton.
Doesn't sound like there's any way for the retail investor to make any money off of this particular industry. Is there, if China's the main producer?
And so the main barite companies in the U.S. now are mainly drilling services companies and oil service companies. Halliburton took over Baroid quite a number of years ago. Baker Drilling, which is a very large drilling company. There's a subsidiary, Baker Drilling Fluids. Mm-hmm. So what you really find is this is the oil field services and drilling industry. Right. These are big boys. These are New York Stock Exchange listed companies. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, I'm not certain if you found a very good sedimentary barite deposit in Nevada. As a prospector, you couldn't market that. But it's not something that junior resource companies have ever participated in, to my knowledge, and I just really don't see the opportunity there.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that. No, Mickey, you're going to be sticking around Toronto for a little bit. Next time we get together, perhaps at this same establishment, we're going to get your assessment of the markets. Give us a bit of a teaser right now as to how you're viewing the investing landscape.
Well, here's what I know. Draghi and Bernanke pumped up the price of gold with their quantitative easing. Other precious metals have followed suit. Copper's gone up, and post-Labor Day, as was predicted, the juniors are looking a little better landscape for the near term.
Okay, you'll elaborate on that next time out. Mickey, great to talk to you, and we'll get together in short order, sir.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.